WGR Sports Radio presents.
The Ohio State Supreme Court rules that boneless wings can have bones in them.
I saw this morning. I did not know what to think.
What?
It's just the style of cooking it?
Sports Talk Saturday.
Ohio Supreme Court ruled that foodies can't expect boneless wings to be completely bone-free.
They're boneless!
Stop it. Get some help.
Eat a bone with a bone in it, Deshaun.
But eat a bone with a bone in it?
On WGR.
This is open material. That's all I got to say. I'm boycotting Ohio. Another Saturday, another Sports Talk Saturday. Welcome in. Joe Calley here with you. Owen Parker in studio today. Derek Kramer's off.
How we doing?
It's exciting. So
very exciting.
We got a lot to roll through. We both saw Spider-Man last night. We recommend it to pretty much anybody. Also, The Odyssey, as you know, if you've listened to the morning show we saw this week. So it was a big week for movies for us.
Big movie week.
So get out there and enjoy on this weekend. Perfect time to go do that stuff. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, too. It's super nice out. A little cloudy. We'll keep an eye on that for you. We'll be a weather show today, too. Why not? But there was some news this morning that I want to get right into. No opening banter or anything like that. C.J. Gardner-Johnson carted off the field at Bills training camp practice. And we'll hear a lot from training camp. We're going to try to get connected to Sal Capaccio at some point. We'll hear from Pete Carmichael Jr. He spoke earlier this morning as well. No one was on the air to take that live, so we'll get you that at some point. You'll hear from him. But Gardner-Johnson being carted off. Let's just start the show on that sour note.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, third practice, and that's a scary one.
Yeah, yeah, and he's been a focal point of training camp as in general, I would say. He's really started to make his mark with his streams and all that. So people are really, you know, he gave $20,000 for someone's tuition, this young girl's tuition. Like, he was starting to make his imprint, and then it's unfortunate to, like, this is why we can't have nice things, and all of a sudden goes south. We don't know exactly what has happened yet. Nothing is confirmed by the team. There's speculation it's an Achilles injury, right? You see a zoomed in video, I'll shout him out, from the thigh doctor, where there's a exercise going on and one ankle or whatever you want to say extends when you push up onto your tippy toes and the other does not. So it's not trending that way. We'll see what exactly happens, but what a blow for him. Early. From someone we've talked about all week being so excited about seeing on the Bills and on the field, to see this happen is not ideal whatsoever.
No, I think that this is a player that I think represented a lot of what I think maybe some people were excited to see with the Bills this season in terms of a culture shift and a move to sort of a new philosophy organizationally in some ways to bring a guy like Johnson in. And I think he had made a really great impression through 2.5 or however long he got through today's practice before he went down with this apparent lower leg injury.
Yeah.
And I know I talked yesterday on the show with you guys with Sneaky Joe in the morning about, like, I'm going to get a C.J. Gardner-Johnson jersey. Like, I don't care if he's a one-year player, even if he goes next year. Like, I just love that they brought this guy in.
Well, he's talking about, I want to be a Bill for 5 years.
Sure, like, and he's a playmaker, yeah. And he is a guy that everywhere he goes, he's good. It burns out, but he's good wherever he ends up.
Yeah, there's a great honeymoon period.
Yeah, and I just really hope that we don't miss out on that honeymoon period because he, you know, blew an Achilles out or you know, twisted an ankle funny.
Yeah.
And you know, there's we're getting a little bit of conflicted, not even maybe conflicted, but just like
some reporting.
So there's some people that are like, look at this thing, this video. It looks like that's not good. It looks like the Achilles is probably gone. And there's other people that Deion Dawkins just said the team told him he was fine.
Yeah.
And so I think we're right now in a very dangerous time to be speculating about what's happening. But I think we should have the discussion as if we might be missing C.J. Gardner-Johnson for a time here.
I think it's mentally okay to start looking at it at that point. Yeah. A lot of times with these, I mean, we saw Michael Hoyt last year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, like, that's a long-term thing. You're done. And at C.J. Gardner-Johnson's age, he's not Christian Benford's age. He's not young, right? He's not Cole Bishop, who might be able to come back from this in the playoffs, right?
Sure.
Maybe C.J. Gardner-Johnson will. Who knows if it is truly that. But it's a real blow if that's what ends up happening. I just we'll have to keep our eyes on it today because I think this is going to develop throughout the day. We'll finally get the word. But everyone was talking about him. McAfee was talking about him yesterday. All the national shows are like, the Bills got a dog in this guy. And to not see that through. Luckily, though, we're worried about the honeymoon period potentially wearing off. He won't be playing or having to worry about, you know, getting overshadowed by a rookie or anything like that. So, I think that might pad it a little bit for us. So, if it ends up happening like that. But everyone's talking about C.J. Gardner-Johnson and the dog the Bills got. And if that already is out the window, that's not a good place to be to start the season.
No, absolutely not. I had seen a few people reference, like, he might be their best player through camp.
Yeah.
Through two practices. Like, he's been really impressive back there.
He's taking Joe Brady's call sheets. Yes. Like, messing with him.
A vibe, like, sort of creator and a guy that is a tone setter. And that is something that I think will absolutely be missed if he does end up missing some time here. I think the bright side of this is another guy that I've seen a lot of buzz about, like, this guy looks really good, is the guy that would likely take his spot, Jalen Kilgore,
mm-hmm.
who had three pass breakups on Thursday, had two picks today.
Yeah.
And, okay, great. That's a rookie player. Like, that is not a guy that's done anything in the league anywhere close to what C.J. Gardner-Johnson has done. But you might have the ability to go, okay, well, we get a chance to give this kid a shot, and maybe, you never know, we get another Christian Benford situation where it's just like, oh, this kid can just do
just
it.
Just pops, yeah.
He can just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how likely that is, especially from the standpoint where you think about what this defense is going to place on defenders when you compare it to the McDermott system.
You heard more volume already,
right.
All of that.
Leonard's already made reference to how much more is going to be on these guys' plates, and that's likely a daunting thought for a rookie player like mm-hmm. Kilgore is. And so that's going to be really interesting to watch how they approach that, how many reps he gets versus, like, are they going to throw Hamlin out there for some of this? Like, what is that going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a really interesting situation to watch as camp continues to progress here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know when we'll get an update on Gardner-Johnson, whether we'll get one today or maybe Monday when they throw the pads on.
That's right. Pads are coming. At some point, there's no more media today, I don't think. No, that would be going on right now. They normally spoke around 11 o'clock if there was a second person. So I don't know if we'll get any update today necessarily. You might get something just from
PR
saying what happened or right. anything like that.
They tell reporters that this is what they – if I would expect that if it's good, early, quick news, they would probably want to get that out there
mm-hmm.
where they're like, it's okay. Everything's fine.
If it's longer, there's testing involved, all that stuff, and they might be going down the rabbit hole. So
correct.
It's not a great vibe necessarily to start off the weekend of training camp. And, you know, as they go into the pads on Monday, as you alluded to, it's – just a tough scene. I was really, like you said, you were talking about getting a jersey for him, all of that. If this ends up being something where he's out for a considerable amount of time, it's $3,000, $3 million in guarantees for him, right? Mm-hmm. Is this someone you see them
cutting
if he can't play?
Well, if it's a ruptured Achilles and that's the season, and like,
yeah
probably.
He gets his $3 million and then
right,
you free up the roster
and
spot.
And it's, you got to... And then you're into, all right, is our answer Kilgore, or do we have to go out and find a veteran, which we've seen them do plenty of.
There's been a lot of that in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. And even, you know, this week they've brought in, you know, some pieces, just veteran camp, you know, not camp, I don't like camp bodies, but guys to fill out a camp roster.
Right.
And, you know, is that what you're looking at here, or is it, we need somebody that might be able to come in and play. We've heard Sal talk about, well, why did the Bills not sign Cooks? And, well, because are you really looking for a guy to play, or are you looking for a guy to come in and fill the spot for camp?
Mm-hmm.
And if Gardner-Johnson is out, I think you're looking for a guy that maybe could play.
Yeah, you're looking for someone who's going to take some reps in the season.
Exactly, and like, there's a lot of places you could look to think, like, well, that could function. You know, I mentioned Jalen Kilgore already here as a name for a guy that was there, and Geno Stone's out there too behind Bishop. And so you've got some options, but
ideally, if Kilgore's good, he's good. Don't get me wrong. Ideally, you want somebody who could potentially come in and take some pressure off of a rookie, though.
Right.
You don't want to put all of that on him to start the season where he's going to have to be the main facet of everything. defensively there. And it's, you know, you just want, you want somebody who can at least back that up or be in front of him in the depth chart. So,
and Geno Stone has played NFL football.
He's a Bengals cornerback.
Yeah, he was
right,
with the Bengals for a good amount of time, and you know, he's done some NFL work, but I, again, not like Gardner Johnson has. Gardner Johnson led the league in interceptions, and that's a guy I think. I don't know how many times. Very excited to see what that was going to look like with a Leonard defense and what, how that piece could kind of change things back there for them. Because Bishop, we know, we saw it last year.
He blew
it
up
really
last
popped.
Year in a good way.
Right. He was making plays all over the place. He's athletic, diagnosing stuff. Like, and we all thought, I think, Gardner Johnson is going to be more of that. And that's exciting. And now you're into where I think they've lived in that position for a while here, whether it's Taylor Rapp, DeMar Hamlin, where you're like, I got to just survive back there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, was that not the strength of Sean McDermott's defenses, was getting good safety play no
Even
matter
out of,
what?
Yeah, rough safeties.
Right. Whoever, like, it was.
He's a defensive back whisperer.
That was his thing, is he made cornerbacks and safeties work.
Jordan Poyer functioned in this defense until last season.
Right.
On a second stint.
Was toward the top of the team in tackles. He played half the year.
Yeah.
And so that is a – is Leonard capable of doing the same thing and getting baseline safety play out of anybody? I wouldn't doubt it. He was a safety. But you don't know. It's not proven in the way that it was with McDermott.
No. And his scheme is so different, right? Like – we've heard him say volume, all that. He is also not expecting it to be hitting at 100% right away, right? Mm-hmm. Leave some room for interpretation in there. I think you might need a veteran if this doesn't work out. That's nothing against Jalen Kilgore, don't get me wrong. But I think you want somebody who actually has some NFL experience to step in and do something in this system. But 803-0550, the number to call. On C.J. Gardner-Johnson, on Bills camp in general, we're open for you for most of the show today. Again, we got Matt Schauff coming up at 12:30. We're going to go over some fantasy football stuff. Owen and I are starting a dynasty league, so we've got to ask some questions on how exactly to – any recommendations, anything like that.
I've got a quote here from Brandon Bean.
Okay.
About C.J. Gardner-Johnson. This is courtesy of John Waro on Twitter, first place I saw it. I don't know anything yet. Until we get an MRI, we'll see. So that is...
That was the test that they did, the squeeze test
on
the cap.
That's a very
preliminary
yeah. Like, let's see if it's, you know, obvious here. And, you know, imaging is always the next step there. They're
right.
Going to get him in and
because it might not be a full rupture. It could be a partial tear
sure.
That's stopping it from doing anything like that. So, we're hoping for best case scenario. If it is an injury, it's partial. It's not a full rupture, anything like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we're gonna keep an eye on that, keep you guys updated.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a concern.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I've been a fan of his streams. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, they've been fun. I know everybody freaked out on day one when Brady was like, hey, can you just please not do this in the locker room and in the training room, which is a totally normal thing to ask.
Right, he was going to be such a problem, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, on day one. And now, I mean, it's like a hero fell, unfortunately. But
possibly.
Up in Adams. Kay Adams was talking about it with Joe Brady. We'll have to play that at some point because
yes.
I think he mentioned something about it. So, Evan, I'll send that to you. But I just – I worry about it in a sense just because of what we were – not what we were sold, but what we were kind of getting sold in the moment, because it was really starting to trend up, and then now it could all come tumbling down. But we'll see. All reportedly,
Absolutely.
All allegedly, we have no idea.
Right. No,
so.
No official confirmation of anything yet. We don't know.
We're in
know,
a good window, honestly, to possibly get some news from 11 to 2 here. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on the social medias and everything like that. And again, hopefully connect to Sal Capaccio a little later in the show as training camp practice is over now. But things are wrapping up there for the media as well. So we'll see what happens. But we're open for you. Training camp in general, all of it. I mean... How much stock do you take in it with no pads? Is it until Monday that you're really starting to pay attention? Like, yeah, Jalen Kilgore had a great day when he's in pads and getting contact. Is that going to change? Like,
right.
I guess that's where I'm at. And we can get into this a little bit here because I think it plays into it. That position's now going to have a microscope on it for anyone who's in it.
Yep.
But other positions that could potentially have a pad microscope, if you will. I mean, Keon Coleman, right, wide receiver. You're going to see how he plays.
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, 1,000%. Even Khalil Shakir, how's he going to look with DJ Moore on the field? Are you going to see more to him, or what's going to happen there?
It looks like there's been some more creative-y stuff with Shakir. I saw a few you know, end-around sort of jet sweeps to Shakir. There was a double reverse today to a screen to him that was a little different for them. Reportedly, obviously, we're not there, but I've been keeping up. Like, it looks like there's a little more, maybe some effort to get Shakir not just a basic get the ball in his hands at the line of scrimmage, but let's see if we can confuse a couple defenses. So that's going to be interesting. Keep an eye on that.
Maybe expand his 3 yards per target average from last season. Maybe throw to him a little bit, you know, forward, like you said, past the line of scrimmage. But also, Ed Oliver, the defense, apparently he's moving around. Offenses are going to have to try and find him, according to Jim Leonard earlier this week. So I'm wondering what that'll look like with pads, because, again, we're talking about guards and tackles who don't look great right now, but also they can't do their job now.
Right. They don't have the pads to grab onto and hold like they normally would.
They're trying not to make contact or hurt anybody.
Exactly. That's one of the things I wanted to ask, you know, whenever we get a hold of Sal here after practice, was like, what are you really able to take away here? Which, you know, I think is a question that everybody really has about this, especially this period of camp, before anybody's in pads, before like the first four practices where it's just sort of, or what's happening, what's t-shirt and shorts, what are you really looking for that could matter? And, you know, movement skills is you see that, and that translates whether you're in pads or not. And there's been a lot of talk about some guys that have impressed in that department, including the biggest acquisition of the offseason in DJ Moore, who's been very exciting, made another great play today, scored another touchdown.
The connection between him and Allen is starting to really look electric. And again, how much stock? But if they're throwing the ball to each other and it's working, you can take some stock in that position.
That's all you want to see.
Yeah. And he's not dropping passes. It's over the shoulders. It's quick little slants. It's everything you're hearing about. And it's a little bit of downfield usage, too, with him.
Oh, yeah.
Which they haven't done a lot of that. Like, last season, I get it. It's because the receiver room was what it was. You couldn't really – that's why screens were being done to set up fourth and shorts and all of that, right? But this season, you add one receiver that's a step – I mean, a few steps above, let's be honest, Brandon Cooks. That offense, already you're pointing out, things are getting shifty, looking different. And I wonder how much of that will be attributed to McDermott's training wheels are off for Joe Brady or, oh, they finally have some talent. Because that's my big question. How different is it? Was it really McDermott, or is it going to be, oh, Brandon Bean in the Bills front office finally got you a wide receiver who's Diggsy, right? Like, not to put him in the Diggs category, but realistically, what's everyone saying? He looks a little bit like Stephon Diggs out there, the way he moves and everything.
Correct. Yeah, that's the comp you hear a lot, is that it's similar archetypes of player. Just route, very effective route runners, not necessarily a burner. Good hands, will just do all the stuff.
Yeah.
Just an all-around receiver that can do the job. And, yeah, I mean, Sneaky's been big on that point with us in the morning. Like, how much credit do we want to give the unshackling of Brady versus the roster, and that I think will be a push and pull that we have all season long, no matter like if things go well. I think if things go poorly, then everybody's going to be on the same page, like, "Rawr." But if the offense takes a step and it looks like they are more dangerous, more aggressive, more maybe what a lot of people wanted out of the Bills offense with Josh Allen, then I think there will be people on both sides of that debate that will have good points to make. And I don't think that's ever going to be something that we know an answer to, because Brady's probably the only guy that knows that.
The only way you'll know an answer, arguably, is if there's more talent and it looks a lot worse, or it looks exactly the
that's
same.
That's exactly. Yeah. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get confirmation because they're good. It could be too. But if they're
bad, you're getting confirmation.
Then you know that something has gone awry.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, it's such a fascinating season.
Yeah. And I think it's refreshing in a sense. Like, I don't know how you feel. I don't want to speak for you. I was extremely hot when McDermott got fired. I didn't think, I thought Bean should have gone with him, all of it. I don't think it was him over the other guy by any means. But where we sit right now, this is the most interesting Bills offseason, not only for the roster changes, not only for that, but for this team defensively, 100% is going to look totally different, mm-hmm. not even close to the same scheme. And offensively, you can kind of expect it to possibly look a little different, especially Brady as a head coach. What does that do?
I think you'd want it to look a little different.
Well, from last season, absolutely.
I mean, not results-wise, just you add a player like DJ Moore, and you hope that changes the way your offense operates. Mm-hmm. It should.
That's one thing I also wanted to get into a little bit, and we can in the next couple segments here. How much of it is we want Josh Allen to make the big plays,
mm-hmm.
and he was just doing less of that, but they still won just as much. Yeah, they didn't win the division because New England woke up, but, I mean, win total on the season, they were at their baseline, right?
They're at the thing we all expect them to do every year.
When Allen is throwing less and less passing touchdowns every season. So are we just hungering for 2020 Josh Allen again, where he's just doing everything, throwing through the air, going crazy? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to be okay with a by committee where James Cook's still like challenging dominates for the top rushing spot in the league?
Right.
Because I think that's a valid thing, because I want to see Josh Allen make an insane play like once a game.
Right.
At least.
Yeah.
And we didn't see that last year. We saw some flashes of it.
Of course.
But for the most part, it was very safe. It was screen passes. It was everything. We weren't really testing downfield. And yes, that's attributing to the talent. But also, it worked.
Right.
And a lot of Bills fans out there are like, all these people just want to sugar high Josh Allen play when what they're doing is 1,000% working. So is it the fantasy manager and people who want Josh Allen to go crazy? Or is it, I think it's an interesting conversation.
You know who you sound like right now?
Hmm.
BB.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I don't disagree necessarily with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But tell me that logic isn't exactly what he came on our air and came at Jeremy with.
So you're right. And I hope I'm not pushing that narrative, because I don't necessarily 1,000% believe it.
I think it's an interesting conversation.
But yes. Posing the question, because I am a Josh Allen fantasy owner, okay? Mm-hmm. In my big dynasty league, I am.
Yeah.
And I want him to put up 40 points per game. And I want to see him throw for 500 yards and hurdle people and everything. But with what they did, it did work. They got to the divisional round, right? And whatever, they did lose. But it was pretty much the same result they had for the last like five seasons. Right. And it was different.
Yeah.
So open for you, 803-0550 on any of that and more as we get rolling here on Sports Talk Saturday. We jumped around a little bit there. We had some breaking news to take care of at the top. So.
Absolutely.
And we'll keep you posted on that throughout the show.
Yeah, we got more to talk about from practice too. The linebackers, we saw Bernard and Williams take some team reps. So
yes.
We'll get into that a little bit too.
A lot more on training camp. So as it rolls on, we've got, another week at Fisher? A couple days this week, and then it's the blue and red on Saturday.
This is their third. They're only out there for, 8 practices, 9 practices?
Yes. So this will be Monday.
I think they're gone next week. They practice next week, and then they're back in Buffalo.
The blue and red on Saturday. Yeah.
And they're like, they're back home.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's very, abbreviated St. John Fisher year this year.
Do you think that's more because of the new building and they want to get used to it?
I think the new building has something to do with it. I think maybe Brady just doesn't feel it's necessary.
Well, that'll be the thing. If next season it's the same, then it's Brady doesn't see this.
Right. Versus, or it just, he liked how it worked this year and whatever.
Oh, very. Yeah, that also could be it. Yeah. All right. We'll be back on the other side. We're up against the break. Joe Calley, Owen Parker. This is WGR.
I walked up to him and I told him, "You all right? Take care of yourself. Can you walk?" And he got up and he did his thing. He could put weight on his legs so he can walk. We all know that injury is 100% in this league, but he's all right. And I got the message from coaches that he's all right and they're going to do their protocol. He'll get his whatever he has to get. He'll be right back in the loop. But CJ is okay. But it's a scary thing. It is a scary thing for the fifth day of practice or fourth day of practice, and to see anybody go down for a quick second. But CJ is a dog, as we all know. So if anybody's going to push you something the right way, it'd be CJ.
Deion Dawkins on his conversation with C.J. Gardner-Johnson right at the inception of the injury, if you will.
Indeed.
He says he's all right. Is that just saying I'm all right, or is that true that he's all right? Apparently other people said he was all right, too, what Dawkins said.
That's interesting. I don't know.
You normally don't hear he's all right after a Achilles rupture.
Sure, but I don't. Yeah, I think it's tough. It's a tough spot maybe to put Deion in.
Right.
To add, like,
because he can't confirm
it. Not that anyone shouldn't ask him that, but I think it's a tough spot for Deion to be in because you don't know. He's not had any imaging done.
Right.
There were preemptive tests, but those are never 100%.
You want to go up to the mic and say, oh, he tore his Achilles, right. It's over.
Exactly. Like,
he's not going to play.
And you don't want to say, well, he's totally fine, he'll be back tomorrow, because you don't know that either. And so you just got to kind of go like, yeah, he's good, he's going to be all right. If anybody can handle it, it's CJ. It's a scary thing. All right, I got to go.
Yeah.
I don't want any more part of this. And that's kind of what I took away from that, was like, I just need to not say anything too hard on either side of this thing. I don't think he necessarily said he's fine and he's gonna.
He said he's all right. He's all right. Could be he's mentally okay after rupturing his Achilles. Like, it could be anything.
So we'll keep a keen eye on that. As I mentioned in the last segment, Brandon Bean said public to a media member, John Waro, "Don't. I don't know anything. We need an MRI."
Yeah.
Basically, it was hang on, just. We don't have any info right now, so we'll keep a keen eye on the old Twitter X machine for that.
Well, also another training camp injury that's coming out in the last couple minutes. Chiefs rookie wide receiver Cyrus Allen carted off the field with a leg injury.
Okay.
So it's tough for the Chiefs too with all the wide receiver crap they've had going on in the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, one of them rehabbing a knee in jail. The other
correct.
Just being what Xavier Worthy is, and you know, right. I don't know, like,
a little
he's
inconsistent
just,
at best.
So I don't know. That's a tough scene for them. But lots of. I feel like this is more. Maybe I say this every year. I feel like this is more injuries I've seen in training camp than any other year.
I think it's every year.
Yeah, because it's like Carolina on day
Carolina
one had like
day
four.
One was a nightmare.
Yeah, Cincinnati had a couple.
Yeah,
but actually, totally fine. Shamar Stewart only hyperextended his knee.
That was a bullet dodge. Did you see the video of that?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
hyperextension's no joke. Don't get me wrong. It's painful. But that's better than rupturing a ligament, tendon, anything.
It looked like maybe he just snapped his leg in half. So I'm...
not to laugh, but yes.
You know, not glad because, you know, I hope the Bengals lose every game they play this season.
Sure. But for the player, you're happy that he's fine.
For the player, that's good.
Because Shamar Stewart's a good player.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, very interested to see.
Yeah,
see what that Bengals. Well, we'll get to our division winners parlay at some point.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited for it. I was itching to do it last week. I got, you know, big guy got a gift card over here for a sports book, so
wow.
I'm playing with free money.
Sports book gift card?
Oh yeah.
Hang on.
It's a physical gift card.
What?
Yeah, have you not seen these?
No. Who is doing that?
I got one for Baff Bings.
Give me $20.
Baff Bings.
Give me $20.
Well, here's the funny thing. It could be $20. You just deposit it and withdraw it, and then it's $25 in your wallet.
I would rather you give me $25 of cold, hard cash, and then I can take it to whatever book I please.
Yeah.
Or
see, this is
not a book.
This is the book I please.
Right.
Listen. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I didn't know they made physical gift cards until
That's
I received this
insane.
One. So it threw me for a loop. Don't get me wrong. But it's sitting in the account right now, ready for this division winner parlay.
All right,
so
I'll throw my deposit in there with, you know, real money.
We're juiced up. Hang on, because there's a specific book we have to use for this.
I know. I got you.
Yeah, okay.
I know what's up.
The one with the good odds,
yes,
if you will.
I'm aware.
Well, but to our conversation ending the last segment.
Yeah.
Where I started spouting the Brandon Bean mindset a little bit. More for the conversation than anything.
I think it's valuable. I don't say that to dismiss it.
No. I know what you're doing. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's full circle, kind of a weird thing.
Right.
But is it a... I don't know what to make of it personally. I'm trying to weed through my brain to see what I really want. Do you want Josh Allen throwing for 400 yards? Hurdling people and scoring 5 touchdowns a game, 2 on the ground and 3 through the air? Or are you fine with what they did last year by committee and they're still winning? And is that where the frustration is with the Bills offense last season? Is that you're not getting the crazy Josh Allen stuff as much?
Right.
You're still getting some, as we mentioned. But he's not doing – he's not – what happened even the season before, that Amari Cooper pitch play,
mm-hmm.
he's receives, throws, and rushes for a touchdown. He's the first player to do that. Like, right. where – that didn't happen last season.
No. And I – so I recognize, and I think it's undeniable that there is some percentage, and that's the debate, is what percentage of – fan frustration is what you're describing about, I just want to see my guy do cool stuff,
mm-hmm.
is, I mean, at its core, that's kind of sports.
Right.
That's the whole thing.
It's the product you're paying for, all of that.
And I think that the way I think about it is that I think you have to relate the watching the guy do cool stuff to what that means for the team's ability to win football games. And I think when the quarterback is doing the kind of stuff that he is capable of doing and the offense is operating like it did in a 20 or a 21 season where it's it just feels unstoppable,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a slow prodding, beat you down, control the clock sort of a strategy,
yeah.
and it's a we're just going to be better than you because we've got guys that are better than your guys,
mm-hmm.
and it's we're just going to we're going to overpower you with our playmaking ability. I think that conceptually, the idea of I can just, whenever I need to, flip that switch on and I can get down the field, that is what I think people need.
Yeah.
And want, and I think that's right to want the ability to do that.
100%
and
agree.
That is what was missing last year. I think you saw that offense operate clinically 95% of the time. But there were moments, absolutely, where you needed something from that offense.
Third and 25, and then you throw a screen pass.
The ball at the end of the Denver game.
Yes.
What? I need to make a play. I need somebody to look to, other than Josh with his feet, to do something.
Which was broken, one of them.
Right. Because he has such a load to carry, because of what we're describing here.
Yeah.
That I just need the ability for somebody to, the offense, not even one person, but the offense as a whole to get that done. And I think you find yourself feeling more confident about that when you see an offense that can do stuff like that on a much more consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got an offense like the Bills have had for 2-3 years now under Joe Brady, that is, it is built through the rushing attack. It is. They've got Josh Allen, who is the best quarterback on the planet. But they run through the ground and James Cook and Josh Allen's legs. That is what drives their offense for the most part.
Yeah.
That is great. But when you get into the playoffs and you get against defenses that can really dig in and game plan against that, and they've got bigger defensive line, all of it.
That's why you see big passes in the playoffs.
I need my offense to have that other dimension to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that was missing.
Yeah.
And that's oftentimes that dimension of the offense is that cool, exciting stuff that I think some people miss.
Yeah, yeah. And that it was, you know, you could argue scheming and all of that, but they didn't have the talent to do that last year. And even with the question really stems from, since Joe Brady's taken over, the wide receiver one position has dwindled away, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Diggs even fell into the abyss a little bit there.
Immediately.
With DJ Moore, though, it seems like in camp it's already more alive than it has been in the last three seasons. So, that's where you're going to get those plays from. So they're going to come back. Like, I genuinely think they will.
I think that's the reason you go out and get DJ Moore.
Right. If it doesn't, still winning, are you okay with that? Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where.
Until the playoffs and they don't win.
Sure.
That's when you.
That's where it comes crashing down.
I am always okay with it, and I appreciate how effective their offense is in the way that it has operated.
Like the Pittsburgh game where James Cook just ran the same play 1,800 times.
I love that. Well, that was awesome.
That was just putting the hammer down on somebody.
If you're
yeah.
able to do that, great. I also want you to be able to throw the ball 50 yards down the field through the air.
Yeah.
I want you to be able to do both those things, because what do you need to run the ball that way in the Pittsburgh game? You need a line and a running back. Okay. That's a lot easier to find than Josh Allen.
Yeah.
and you've got Josh Allen. Use him the way that you can. Use the edge that you have on the league. That is it. You have got the guy that is better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
And he's been kind of an afterthought the last two seasons.
I don't even want to say afterthought because he's great and he won an MVP.
Half of his game has been an afterthought. That's all I'll say.
I think that you have to lean into the strength that your player gives you. And that is not what they've been doing. And they've been trying to put less pressure on that. And that's great, but you have to use that, that superpower.
Yeah.
That is your superpower. And you've got to find a way to make that superpower matter more for you in big moments, in the playoffs, in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. on a more consistent basis.
They almost had it last season. Yeah, Brandon Cooks hangs on to the football.
They've almost had it like 5 years in a row.
Right. So that's why it's nice to see them finally get a DJ Moore, get a wide receiver one on your roster, or a top-end wide receiver two, whatever you want to call them. But on the depth chart, you finally have a wide receiver one who's separated from the rest of the pack. Who is clearly the more talented receiver, downfield, all of it, who's the X factor in your receiving room. It's not an everybody eats anymore. And we talked about that yesterday. Is that dead? Was it ever really alive?
It's still
probably alive to an extent.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
but
it's
to the extent that it was basically putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound that you didn't have a playmaker, it's gone. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
It's been replaced by put the ball down. That's the new thing they've got on T-shirts and the thing that everybody says.
We've heard that a lot throughout the press conferences during the week.
Yeah,
on the way to the Odyssey, we had a ding counter going on.
We were at
in the
five.
Car. Yeah.
In like
on day one.
30 minutes.
Yeah. That was
press conference.
That was early.
Yeah.
That was day one of training camp. So we'll see if we get any from Pete Carmichael today. We're going to play that for you at some point. Hear from the new offensive coordinator. I think Joe Brady's staff, just on Carmichael for a moment after mentioning him, I think that's a huge confidence boost. Not just Jim Leonard, but like you have a Cromer disciple as the offensive line coach, and Cromer was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Ran the run game. Called the run plays.
Sean McDermott alluded to that a couple times.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Aaron Cromer, he said multiple times in multiple press conferences post game. You have Pete Carmichael, who was the right-hand man of Sean Payton, yes, during Bounty Gate, so whatever you want to say there, but also on the Super Bowl run, all of that. Like, he's got guys in there who I think really boost his chances as a first-time head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm not – and also, he's been in this specific dance in Buffalo in a different position for 3 years now. 2.5, really. That's why I'm not necessarily it's year one for him. For me, it's
a continuation.
Continuation of what he has been doing, if not an improvement upon what he's been doing. So I just mentioning Carmichael, I think the staff outside of Leonard as well is something exciting to look forward to. We've got some around the NFL news coming up on the other side before we wrap up hour number one. A little scary if you're looking out in the NFC and who the Bills could potentially match up with in the Super Bowl. It's going to send a shiver up your spine. We'll have it after this. Wrapping up hour number one, here with you, Joe Cali, Owen Parker, in for Derek Kramer on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. The shiver up your spine. You ready for this?
No.
Sean McVay on Aaron Donald.
Mm-mm.
Trending in the right direction.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
On coming back to play.
Mm-mm.
So now let's think about this for a moment.
No.
Myles Garrett's added.
I don't want to.
And you add Aaron Donald?
No.
To an already stud defense?
Please don't.
F them picks is pretty much what we need to be working with.
Please.
At this point, why not? Because this is unbelievable. The offense with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams and Matt Stafford.
Don't forget they traded for McDuffie.
They did trade for McDuffie. Like, this team, they're building for a Super Bowl run.
It's
to win the Super Bowl, not even for a run. I think they're built to just win this thing.
It's really, I struggle watching the Rams and the Eagles specifically, those two teams, operate the way they do.
It's the Monstars.
And yeah. Right.
Yeah, it is.
And it makes it hurt and makes it so frustrating to hear the Bills every time. Like, well, you know, it takes two to get a deal done, and you
we
know,
were in on this
we
guy.
You guys got to understand that you're not going to get every deal done. It's got to make sense. You got to have what they want. They got to have what you want. I get it. But, man, why do these two teams seem to get every piece like this? And why have you not been able to poach one?
Remember, we want to remain fiscally responsible and avoid a major teardown.
I was trying not to think about it.
Yeah.
It popped into my head as you were talking about them to open it, and I had to put it out, and now thank you for doing that.
I mean, is it not – I hate to think about it, and I hate to keep revisiting it, but the way the Rams are built right now, it's more and more apparent that a teardown for a year – doesn't totally stunt you.
No, of course not.
Like
clearly not.
No.
They are by far, the Rams to me are the best run team in the league.
And they're not villains. It's not like Vegas in the NHL, right? They do it and maintain a good pedigree all
Everybody loves them.
Yes.
They is as widely respected as anybody. The GM is widely respected. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody leave the Rams and go, "Well, they did me dirty." And
no, Jared Verse might be the only one, but
and even he
it's just bitter about leaving a good team.
You got traded for like the greatest defensive end.
Yeah.
Like,
and wouldn't you be upset if you left that team for the Browns?
Of course.
So yeah, I get it.
But it's just it is really, really frustrating when you put the two organizations or the three, really, I'm talking about the Eagles and the Rams, and compare them to how the Bills have operated. Mm-hmm. It is maddening.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Aaron Donald potentially coming back for the Rams. We got a boogie for the first hour, though. We'll be back with more on the other side. Pete Carmichael, his press conference for you. We'll break that down to then Matt Schauff at the bottom on WGR.